Please turn with me, Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 27. Just to set the context a little bit of our reading here from Luke, most of his encounters were with the Pharisees, who were very much legalistic about keeping the law of Moses. These are the Sadducees. They were kind of the upper echelon of the ruling class there in Jerusalem. But specifically, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They also did not believe in angels. So there was division between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we see here, it is the Sadducees who come and are challenging Jesus about the very issue of the resurrection of the dead. And so we hear them come and they ask Jesus to try to test him with one of these trick questions that these lawyers come up with. So Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 27. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well. And they no longer dared ask him any question. This is the word of the Lord. Just a brief note here, because I had planned to preach more on these particular texts, and that was what I was working on this week. But as of yesterday, I was given another sermon that you're actually going to hear this morning. And that's why there was no sermon outline put out, because I was working on it last night and this morning. But just a brief note, because for some people, this is a question about marriage and being in the resurrection. I think the point Jesus is just making is that when we are in heaven, we as the bride of Christ will be in such intimate relationship, not only with God, but with one another. Now, this sounds strange, but it will be as though we are all married to one another. It will be that level of intimacy. So I believe it's actually both, not either or, but both and. Those whom we know, our spouses, our kids, parents, they'll still be very special to us. But I believe in another sense, we will have a sense of intimacy with one another that we can't imagine. The closest thing is that between spouse. I think that's the point Jesus is making. We look forward to that time in heaven that we all together, can you imagine what that would be like? Everyone having that sense of intimacy. Well, that's what I think Jesus is saying heaven is like. So we look forward to that. We look forward to that. Today's teaching is related to our day where we come together to honor those saints, All Saints Sunday, to remember those who have gone on before us, because actually the honoring of this day brings up an issue that was addressed at our convention that we had just in the last couple days with our bishop down in Loganville. And basically the issue that was raised in a couple of the talks there was that the church has a problem. Now you may think, oh, tell us something we don't know. It's not the church has a question, which problem would you like to talk about? And I would say, well, there's division in the church. Did you know there's division in the church? Once again, you say, okay, tell us something we don't know. The thing is, I'm not talking about division between liberals and conservatives. Not talking about division between high church and low church. What they talked about at this conference was division between the clergy and the laity. Clergy and the laity, lay people. Clergy and laity. In a sense, what was said was that the church is kind of suffering with an identity crisis because we don't understand who we are, and that is reflected by the divisions we see specifically between clergy and the laity. To give you an example, we had Bishop Thad Barnum, just a dynamic speaker, truly like John the Baptist. If you can imagine a current day John the Baptist, that's what Bishop Thad Barnum is like. Just a fire of a man, a fire of heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're sitting in this gathering. There's maybe, a couple hundred people there. And he says, would all the laity please stand up? So, of course, all the people who had not been ordained, all the non-clergy, stood up. And so he's like, uh-huh. He says, now let me tell you something. He said, the word laity comes from the word laos, which means the people of God. Would all the people of God please stand up? And of course, with that, all of us clergy stood up as well. And he very effectively demonstrated this difference that we have between clergy. They're the ministers, or they're the ones that he said have the special knowledge, and the laity who are, people say, oh, I'm just a lay person. He shared that once. Somebody came, oh, well, I've studied, I've done this. In fact, this guy he talked to had been a missionary for 40 years, and he says to him, I'm just a lay person. He says, no, there's no such thing as just a lay person. And so he went on to develop this division and what it means within the church, which is really a tremendous ramification, that we have this separation, this division, with expectations for there are those who are the holy ones, this is where we bring in saints, those who are the ministers, those who are the priests, those who are the workers, and then there's the rest of us. And so I want to talk about that today, particularly in the setting that we have, because there's three words I want to talk about and how they describe us as the church, and specifically us individual as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the first word is this word, saints. Today, again, we celebrate All Saints Sunday. And we remember those saints who have gone on before us, particularly the martyrs, which is why we're wearing red today, those who martyred, who truly gave their life for Jesus Christ to profess that faith. And it's happening still today in this our time. But if I were to say to you, could you name some saints for me? Now, depending on your upbringing, you might say, well, there's, St. Paul and St. Peter and St. Teresa. See, the point that the bishop was making is, what about John Jones? What about Susan Brown? What about the person who's sitting next to you? See, this is what the word saint means. It means the holy ones, the called out ones. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are all the called out ones. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are the saints of God. Yes, there are those who went before us. There are those who have done great and wonderful things. Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, yes. But you see, even within this, we make maybe an unconscious decision or distinction between the really holy people and then there's just us regular believers. There's no such thing as a regular believer in Jesus Christ. And so that was kind of a first distinction I wanted to offer today. It's just as we honor this day and honor these saints, we remember we too are called to be the holy ones of God, the called out ones. And to what extent are we fulfilling that by separating ourselves from the ways of the world? I think that's the first challenge for us today. A second term that I think goes along with this is that of priest. Priest. Now let me say, this is again, I continue to come up with things when I say I think it's not either or, but both and. Are there what we call ordained priest, clergy? Are there people that within a group, a church says to a bishop or somebody says, would you send us somebody? And would you confirm that this person has been properly trained? This person has, ability to lead worship and sacraments and so forth. We want you to certify this person. And that's something that we have a hierarchy that does that. It's a very biblical hierarchy. We have episcopy. We have episcopal is bishops, overseers. We have overseers. We have elders. The word elder is used in two ways. One, it would be said that I am the elder of the church. But also we have elders, which is our board of elders. They are kind of the leading lay people of the church. So there is a hierarchy, and there is such a thing as ordination of particular people that are called by a church to be our leader. I absolutely believe in that, and I believe it's a special anointing and calling that some people have. But do you see where the problem comes when we start to think that's the only kind of priest? Because that's certainly not what the Bible reveals to us. Let me just share with you, you're probably familiar with this before, but comes specifically out of 1 Peter. Has you come to him who is Jesus Christ, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, see, like Jesus, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we, as believers in Christ, are called to be a holy priesthood. Peter goes on to say, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And so we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are also called to be priests. Now, what do priests do? Well, again, if we look at the biblical example, it was the priest who offered the sacrifices on behalf of the people. So in one sense, it is the priest who represents people, but also who represents or represents God to the people. Okay, teaches them about the law, about what God does and the realities of God, the truths of God. A priest is also someone who intercedes on behalf of others, an intercessor, particularly in prayer. Okay, so this is the function, in a way, like John the Baptist, one who prepares the way for another. And so I would ask us, in what sense do we see ourselves, all of us, as priests? To the people around you, that you either act as an intermediary, maybe offering intercessory prayer to God on behalf of someone, but if someone doesn't know God, that you are presenting God to that person, in a way representing or presenting that person back to God, acting as that intermediary, making the way for the Lord. The nation of Israel was through whom the Messiah was coming. They were, in a sense, the priests of the world because they were to bring Messiah for the salvation of the whole world, Jew and Gentile. But now it is we have, as believers in Christ, again, all of us are called to this office of priesthood, particularly for those around us to present and represent us to Christ and Christ to the world. So in what sense do you see yourself functioning as a priest? If you said to your church, oh, do you have a priest? Yeah, who is he? Oh, his name's Don O'Malley. How many priests do we have in this church? I hope a whole bunch. Do you see the difference in mindset? And do you see what it has caused in the church if there's a sense that, oh, who does the stuff? Who's the priest? Well, there's that guy that stands up in front. See, what the bishop was trying to say is, no, we need to get beyond that and understand that all of us are called to be priests of God. A third term I want to use, I think, again, is maybe the most demonstrative, is that of minister. Now, particularly we see this in some other denominations. If someone were to introduce themselves to you and say, oh, I'm a Lutheran minister, what would you think? Oh, here's somebody or woman who leads a congregation, has been ordained, gone through training and all that. I'm a Methodist minister, somebody who stands up and does the preaching and so forth. You see that connotation. And yet you read the word minister is coming from the root diakonos. Diakonos is where we get the word deacon. How many times have you heard somebody come to you and say, oh yeah, I served as a deacon in our church? In the Anglican Church, we have an official office, the laying on of hands and ordination of people who are called deacons. Now, if you have a sense that a diakonos is someone who attends to, someone who helps, someone who serves one another, who are the deacons, who are the ministers of the church? All of us. It should be all of us. The scriptures say to each has been given a manifestation, a gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is the purpose of that gift? For building up the body of Christ. And this is the point I think the bishop was trying to make, is we're living in a church, churches, that people by and large do not see themselves in this respect. So here we have this church and we've got saints, or well, they're the holy ones that used to live a long time ago. What about the priest? Well, yeah, there's somebody who stands up in front. He's the priest. What about the ministers? Yeah, he's the priest, the clergy. They're the ones that do the ministry. Maybe some lay people. He's saying we need to get over this. We need to reassess the thinking. Again, not either or, but both, and to start to see ourselves and ask ourselves, as the church of God, as this particular church, do I see myself functioning as a priest? Do I see myself functioning as a minister? Do I see myself being a saint of God and living out the holiness that God has called me to do, to be called out from this world and to live a holy life because God is holy? It makes all the difference in the world. And this is the problem in the church, an identity crisis, because the church sees too few people as the one who are supposed to be doing the work. The ones who are supposed to have the special knowledge. That's really just a form of Gnosticism. That's an ancient and even current heresy. Now, a large part of what is responsible for this, and certainly not solely, but this was just an example of something that the bishop pointed out that goes back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Verse 12, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It's talking about he gave some to be apostles. These are offices in the church. Some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. These are the church leaders. Okay, you get that? And what is their function? Their function is threefold. First, to equip the saints, comma, for the work of ministry, comma, for building up the body of Christ. So the leaders of the church have that threefold ministry. Now, this was according to the King James Version. And what people are looking at now, and of course, we remember, you know, the Greek manuscripts that this came from had no punctuation. So when the authors who were transcribing that into the back in the beginning of the 17th century, they put in these commas. And do you see how what statement that's being made is, okay, we got the leaders of the church, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, and what is their function? Threefold. First, to equip the saints, comma, for the work of ministry, comma, and for building up the body of Christ. What people realized now today, and this was a point the bishop was making, was we need to take out that first comma. And it should look like this. Ephesians 4, the apostles or prophets, what is their job? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Do you see the difference that little comma makes? Isn't that amazing? And do you see where we've seen the mindset? I mean, I tell you something you don't know, or you grew up with this. Do you realize, right, we had the special people, they did all the work? And so now they're saying, no. It's to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It goes together. There's no comma there. And that's the point he's trying to make, is that all of us are laos, the people of God. All of us are to be equipped for the work of ministry. Now, this is what the bishop presented yesterday. Now, don't think I've got this ego. I've always got to do one better. Not me. But as I looked through this, I thought, okay, you've got the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, and all that. Their job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, comma, for building up the body of Christ. So now it's a twofold ministry for the leaders of the church. Equip the saints for the work of ministry and, comma, to build up the body of Christ. I don't think that other comma should be in there as well. See, I think it should look like this. To equip the saints for the work of ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. Isn't that like, well, yeah, of course that makes sense. Of course that makes sense. So in our English Standard Version, see, we've got that second comma in there. I don't think either comma should be in there. What is the church leader? To equip the saint, and that's as pastor, yes, that's what I'm supposed to be leading, and the elders as well, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. It just sounds so right. Now the question is, if this is the purpose of building up the body of Christ, what happens if people are not exercising their particular gifts? Who suffers? The body of Christ suffers. Let me go back to Paul in Ephesians, where he talked about this very thing, building up the body of Christ. He says, until we all attain to the unity of faith, talk about unity, remember division versus unity, the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the full stature of fullness in Jesus Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Do we see that happening in the church today? Yes. By human cunning, by craftiness, deceitful schemes. Rather, here's what the church should look like. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. Who is that? Jesus is the head of the church. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped by, who equips the body? The Holy Spirit. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly, the body builds itself up in love. When the body's not working properly, the body's missing something. We're not getting the fullness of the stature of Christ. We're not getting the full building up. And this was the point I think the bishop was trying to make yesterday. The theme of the conference was empowering laity, trying to get all of us to realize that we are all in this together. It's not just the priests, it's not just the clergy or the bishops or deacons. It's all of us together. And so once again, let's look at the definition of what we have of the church. The church, do we see ourselves as saints? Yes, we are believers in Jesus Christ, and by that we have salvation. We're saved by faith. To what extent do you see yourself fulfilling the call to be a saint? To be someone who lives a holy life, not in the world, but not of the world, separating from the world, being that example of Christ, that light of Christ, that salt of the earth. To what extent are you fulfilling that calling as a believer in Jesus Christ? As a believer in Jesus Christ, to what extent are you fulfilling your calling to be a priest of God, to be part of the priesthood of believers, to represent God to others, to present others to God, to intercede for them in prayer and in deed, to prepare the way for the Lord in the lives of those who are around you? Are you functioning and serving and fulfilling the calling as a priest of God in your circle of influence, in your community? We are all believers in Jesus Christ. To what extent are we fulfilling our call as ministers, using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to each and every one of us for the purpose of building up the body of Christ? To what extent are you fulfilling that calling of being a minister in God's church and helping to build up the body of Christ? That's the question that was proposed to us basically at this conference. And it's like, wow. Wow. My brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you, and I don't say this lightly. Our world is falling apart. The world is falling apart. This election that so many are fearful of on Tuesday, whoever wins on Tuesday, half of our nation is going to be angry and disturbed, and we may see rioting in the streets. Do you realize that? Whoever wins. The world is falling apart. This financial system, we are so on the brink of absolute financial collapse. All the central banks, I just saw an article yesterday, all the central banks around the world, not just ours, but we started it. All the central banks around the world have just been printing money. You can't keep doing that. Eventually, this bubble is going to burst. And we're getting so, so close. Depending on what happens in this election, we militarily are very weak right now. If something happens Tuesday, there could be others that in fact would take advantage. If they sense that there might be a strengthening of our military, depending on who wins, they're going to take advantage of it before we have a chance to do that. And you know, we did pray for Israel, you know, because that's going to be the primary attack. You know, Iran is just waiting for the opportunity. So these things are happening around the world. Even our own religious freedom will be threatened. So in the midst of this, we as a church need to build ourselves up to the maximum extent we can. Do you know when a storm is coming in the hurricane? They said, oh, we got this storm coming. Okay, well, I'm going to wait till it hits, and then I'll go out and I'll board up my windows and I'll put some sandbags around. Is that the time you go out and try to build up the house? No. When do you prepare for the storm? Before it comes. I believe we're being told now to make sure we build up the foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ, which means fulfilling our calling, not only as believers, but as ministers, as priests, and as saints. There's something that we talk about in the church as the 90-10 rule. The 90-10 rule. 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I actually believe our church is better than that. I think we're, if not better, we're at least an 80-20 church. About 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Could you imagine being part of a church where 50% of the people did 50% of the work? That everyone was involved and contributing the gifts that God had given. Can you imagine that? I sense that's probably unrealistic in terms of human identity and human frailty. But again, if I see us now, or we see ourselves as an 80-20 church, could we become a 70-30 church where 30% of the people are doing 70% of the work? It's not so much on one particular person. I will say it was very gratifying, and I don't know how if Jerry and Marianne felt the same, but as the bishops were talking about churches and problems and getting people involved, I actually felt pretty good about our church. We have a lot of people here who are involved in ministry. I believe there are a lot of people in this church who are exercising their spiritual gifts. But not everyone. Not everyone. And so, again, if it's not everyone contributing and paying, playing the part of your gift applied for building up the body, then the body suffers. We're not that fullness of Christ demonstration that Paul talked about in Ephesians. So when is the time to get ready to build the foundation, make sure we're on the rock? Is now, to examine our lives. And that was the challenge of this conference, and I believe the challenge for us today. So as believers in Jesus Christ, I ask you this morning, pray about and consider. And I and elders will also look at other ways too, how we help to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. But to what extent, as a believer in Jesus Christ, do you think you're fulfilling your calling as a saint of God on holiness, as a priest of God, priesthood of believers, and as a minister of God in God's church? The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is upon us. The good news is that the best is yet to come. Okay, but now is a time to build up the church with the gifts that God has given us, because He loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But we also commit to You, Father, as Your calling upon us who are believers of the body of Christ, to a life of sainthood, a life of holiness. We commit to our calling as priests of God, members of the priesthood of all believers. We commit to You our calling as ministers of Your word and deed, as the gifts of the Holy Spirit working through us for the building up of the kingdom. So Lord God, in all these things, we pray that You would empower this church, that we would be a rock, an anchor in times of storm that is coming, that all would be to Your glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.